Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to Redmen TV. It's the review show, the show where we review the football match that just happened. In this instance, it was Liverpool beating West Ham 4-1 at the London Stadium and sacking Slaven Bilic. Mission accomplished, Tom.
It's what we all wanted. I mean, I didn't really want it.
I don't care one way or the other.
I don't wish any ill will. Is that a word?
Fine.
Ill will to the man, but... You know what, boss?
Yeah.
Keep sacking managers, be that good.
Yeah, absolutely. And what it's nice for a change, Everton does not be on the receiving end of this, like, you know, like the Shakespeare effect, as it were, where
yeah.
someone gets sacked and then we've got them the next game. For once, we get to be the team that sacks a manager.
It's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was always going to happen for Bilic, wasn't it? So it's nice that we did the dagger.
So he's got the highest points per game ratio of any permanent West Ham manager in the Premier League history. I think it's 1.33. I just saw a tweet about that, and yet they've sacked him. I mean, don't get me wrong, something's fundamentally not right there.
Yeah.
He definitely needed to go, but I don't know. To the game itself then, get us some suggestions for topics you want to discuss, whether it's players and what have you. I want to know for the start, your non-Mo Salah man of the match is a decent place to start. So we've just recorded the final word show. We've done about an hour talking about this game in depth and detail. That'll be on the redmentv.com, so if you want more, go and do that. I said I'd mention him. I didn't get a chance to talk about it on the show. James Milner off the bench. He had like another revolutionary impact on this team. Yeah. I don't know where he was meant to be playing, whether he was playing, I guess, probably under Jürgen's vision, like left mid if it was 4-4-2.
Yeah.
But he, for me, typified everything that's been going right with our team in the last few games. He was just looked hungry. He looked totally switched on to his role. He was trying to make stuff happen. He was being unselfish in his play, yet he was also finding the time to get a shot off himself and stuff.
Yeah.
James Milner, wonderful human being.
What a man.
Yeah.
He's definitely one of the best professionals we've got at Liverpool, but I don't think he's had a bad game for us this season. Every time he's come on, he's done the job that's been asked of him. And I think it's great for him that even at his age and, you know, the fact that he's had to play so many different positions, he's still boss at every single one of them.
It's pushing, it's making everyone else play better, and it's the old thing of, okay, you want competition for places. This man's like, he's just 32, is he?
He's even that old.
Is he old? I don't know.
Yeah.
But he's in his early 30s, and he's saying to all these young kids, look, if you don't perform here, it doesn't matter how young you are.
Yeah.
I'm the experienced head in here. I've played for these massive clubs and won massive things. 31, there you go. And he's like Oxlade-Chamberlain. If he wants to be a consistent player in this team, he needs to play just as well as he did the other day. And that's boss.
This is, just to move it away from Milner, but in a general sense, I mean, what it shows is, again, what we discussed in the final word, the strength and depth that we've got right now. Let's qualify this, because I'm sure someone will come up with it. I'm sure there was in post-match content. West Ham are not in great form. They're not great. You know, we battered them last season away from home as well. But again, in terms of, you know, going up there and getting a job done, this is a team that we dropped Oxlade-Chamberlain for his first Premier League start, Milner coming off the bench as well. You know, again, Sadio Mane coming back from injury.
Yeah.
Clavan's come into the team, and look, he's not great, is he? But he's been solid. Moreno, we've brought him back in from the cold, and he's arguably the most consistent left back in the Premier League this season. We've got a really good squad of players, and again, they're all bang up for it. They're all pulling in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, when they're playing well, we have got so many options, especially in midfield. Obviously, you've got Gini, Henderson, Chan, Milner, Ox, Coutinho, you know, and Lallana, obviously, to come back. You've got so many players who can play different types of of, you know, midfield roles, but essentially they can all play in all three positions, which is really, really good to see. So, yeah, there's definitely a competition for places this season, but like I said, I think it's down to when they play well. Yeah. So
I think it's more for me. I just love the renewed optimism around everything. The amount of shows that we've done, me sat right there, and every single person, every single Liverpool fan was down in the dumps and saying that our system was flawed, Klopp didn't know what he was doing, we weren't playing well. And look, we've kept the same system, we're doing the exact same things, and we've won three on the bounce. We've kept a few clean sheets since last time I was on one of these shows. And we're looking like the team that we all know we are. The squad's not bad, the squad was never bad.
Yeah.
No. It's just about working with the tactics with these players and just evolving through it and being better for them.
Yeah, and as I said again a couple of places now, for me it was about the fact that we've not ran ourselves into the ground to get that win as well.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Again, it was quite comfortable like last season, but that was the tail end of the season. This is a team where, you know, Bilic went for it.
Yeah.
You know, he ended up with basically four strikers on the pitch trying to make something happen. Yeah. We had to handle that, and we did have a couple of moments, but it's worth mentioning we limited them to one shot on target for the game as well. You know, and that was you used it on the final word. I think you used the word dominant performance. Yeah. I know that's two words, but you used both of them. So it's fine. But it was, you know, Liverpool, barring, you know, it wasn't without incidents. West Ham, you know, gave a good account of themselves at times, but, you know, we handled that threat really well.
Yeah, well, like I said on the show, you know, we play a high risk game, so we will still make mistakes. But, yeah, we've definitely shown progression. And obviously, like we were talking at the beginning of the season about how Klopp was rotating his players, and some of us were thinking, oh, you know, it might be quite good to gain some consistency, especially in defence. But I think it's shown now that because he's given faith to a lot of players, they're all capable of coming on and starting any game, whether that's Champions League, Cup or Premier League, and they've all shown that they can hold their own. Yeah, there's been bad games and there's been bad individual performances, but when they're all playing well, we have so many options.
Yeah, that's it. And we talk about this, we forget sometimes that this is a completely different test for us. You know, we had the test of the Europa League 2 years ago. We had to balance that. But the Europa League, at this stage of the season, you can play. Look what Arsenal have done in the Europa League. They've put a lot of kids in those games. We've not had that luxury. We've had to balance two competitive games, proper competitive games every week. And look, that's the Champions League. Top teams have to do this. But we haven't been able to do that. We haven't had the opportunity to do that. And the last time we tried to do it, we failed miserably under Brendan Rodgers. So it shouldn't be underestimated, the job we're doing at the moment. So I asked you for your non-Salah man of the match. A couple of shouts here. Patrick Lowell says Firmino was easily man of the match. Evan, Don Levy, I think Firmino played well. He did everything but score. I completely agree with that, Tom. It was just a terrific all-round performance.
So I watched the highlights back, the extended highlights, and just some of the stuff that he does. That turn for the fourth one is just some of the best. Moreno plays a quite flat ball, lands straight at his feet, and he doesn't like touch it. He rolls it with his studs round the player.
This is the third goal.
Oxlade-Chamberlain, just as they've scored. And just some of the touches he plays, some of the runs he does, and sometimes you just don't notice him on the pitch.
Yeah.
But he's making these runs. He's creating space for everyone, and I'm just happy we got him. There's going to be a social clip going out later, and we equated it to before in the final word. He's got Dirk Kuyt's work rate, and he's got Luis Suarez's skills packaged into one. He doesn't have the finishing yet, but if he like. We say this about so many players. Salah and him get finishing. Look at our attack.
There's an interesting question here. I'm actually going to just see if I can track it down. It said, should Liverpool still go for, I'm going to say it really slowly, should Liverpool buy a 20-plus goal a season striker instead of relying on our wingers? Asks Mikey Moore.
I mean, I've said since the summer that I would still like to see a centre-forward come in. You know, that doesn't mean necessarily bringing in a new player. It just means maybe getting somebody like Dom Solanke as, you know, a centre-forward option if we can train him up to sort of, you know, be the Sturridge-Suarez role. But I do think that, you know, it would be nice just to have somebody in to take a bit of a pressure off Firmino, because I think Firmino's not been injured yet this season. But, and I'm, you know, I say yet because I hope he isn't, touch wood. But you know, if we do have to play without him for, you know, for 2 or 3 weeks, I don't think people, until that, God forbid, doesn't happen, don't think they'll realise just how important he is to our play. Yeah. So I think it's important that we have another player who can come in and step into that role and still be able to do a job when he's not there. And I think we need to start getting somebody ready for that now.
Yeah.
Because Firmino's not going to be able to play every single game for the entire season.
But I think we are starting to get our heads around that. You know, yeah. We were introducing Solanke, Sturridge, we're starting to just about place Daniel Sturridge into a little bit of form
exactly,
as well. So I think
yeah.
it does kind of bode well. I want to mention, so we've got R. Billy on the Super Chat. Still have a shaky defence and it's only West Ham. Just got to get it in, haven't you? Just got to get it in. Keep your comments coming in, of course, on that. But here's the thing, Tom. Why does it have to be a centre forward?
Yeah,
I get it because there will be times when you need someone whose finishing is he gets one touch in the box and he sticks it in the back of the net. Look, you know that's always going to add more to your team. But Mo Salah is on. What did we work it out last week? He's on for 28 goals or something. He was, if you extrapolate it over the season, which you can't, of course, but he's on target to score well in excess of 20 goals. He's already got 12. For fuck's sake.
Yeah, you know what
I mean? He's only a couple of goals away from being our highest goal scorer in the season since Suarez left.
Yeah.
At this point of the season already. If we've got one guy who scores 20 plus goals, does it matter that he's actually playing centre forward?
It's weird because I think the system we play, when we play the three, we have one pull out and then we let them other two that are there kind of fill the gap in the middle, and that's why Salah gets all his goals there, because consistently he's at the back post, and I think he's perfectly suited that. I did it at Roma and I was looking at his highlights before we got him, and it was, oh, he's a poacher, he just scores at the back post, and we needed that really badly. And I think Dom Solanke does it well when he's playing the number nine, because he comes deep, lays the ball off, lays the ball off and then sprints for the box. But I don't think we don't cross that much. And when we do, we've overloaded the box anyway, so I don't think it matters too much. I mean, I'd love a Lacazette. If we could just sign Lacazette and then the worries are kind of over. You know, he's powerful, he's pacey, and he's got a finish on him. And, all right, he wouldn't work in the system that we play now too much, but if you just wanted to throw one up there and kind of sit back a touch, I don't know. I don't think we desperately need a number nine.
Yeah,
I think there's too much emphasis on sort of labelling the position that they're playing. I think for me it's more having a mixture of styles.
Yeah.
Just because, like you say, you can't Firmino can't play at that high intense level of pressing game every single game of the season. Yeah. So there are going to be some games where, you know, it'd be great to bring on Solanke, who has, you know, similar qualities but can do slightly different things, maybe a little bit more effective. So
he's a bit more direct.
Yeah, he's a bit more direct. He can hold the ball up and he can pass it off, you know, whereas Firmino is a bit more sort of high risk. So I do think it's good to have a mixture of styles, but I mean, the whole sort of false nine, number nine, number ten, like, I don't really care what position it is. You know, they're all there to do a job, and that's to create and score goals for Liverpool.
This is it. And look, Liverpool, Jürgen Klopp made a point about us playing 4-4-2. Salah played up front.
Yeah.
If by that logic, Salah played as a striker.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And scored two. So again, this would be. I think you're right. You get hung up on positions a little bit too much. Again, this is what it all boils down to. Harry Kane would be great. Sergio Aguero, great. You know, pick up one of these top quality centre forwards. But you know, if we've got Mane can score. I think Mane's got 18 to 20 goals in him.
Definitely.
I think Salah's got 18 to 20, and I think Firmino maybe 50, maybe 15, maybe 15-ish. You know, you could conceivably get that out of him. You know, we've just seen Oxlade-Chamberlain get a goal from midfield. We've got goals in this team, and I would much rather have that than look. I want my cake and eat it, as you can probably tell. But I want a 25 goal a season centre forward flanked by two 18 to 20 goal wingers and two 10 to 15 goal attacking mids behind them, like Man City have basically got by the looks of it, but. What it's so hard to make that happen. It costs so much money to make that happen. Then inevitably, what you've had and what maybe Spurs haven't quite got. They've been quite lucky. They've got a lot of goals in that team as well. But we've had in the past is we get one goal scorer, and then we've got nothing else close to him. Because here's the thing: when you build a team around that one guy, it's very hard to sell the backup role to someone else. Yeah. How do you turn around to someone and say, well, you'll play when this guy's not playing? How's that guy supposed to find fitness? How's he supposed to find form, particularly if you're only playing one up front? So I like the way we're doing it, provided it keeps working.
Definitely, and especially if you look at the way other teams are playing against us. Like, we've kind of worked out how to beat these low block sides now, but against Huddersfield and against West Ham, it was literally a two blocks of four, two banks of four, or maybe even a five.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Five and a four, I think, was Huddersfield. And no centre-forward's going to do well in that. Yeah. Unless you keep consistently lumping balls in there, which is it's an option. But to have the interchangeability and to be able to get goals from all over and sometimes rely on a Coutinho 30-yard worldie, sound.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I think it's just how you use it, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Total Aced has thrown in 20 sec into the pot. No idea what that is. But he says, how will Lallana fit back in once he's back? This is a really interesting question. I had this asked on something else this week. And for me, Emma, the easiest answer to this is that don't worry about it, because there's so many games. The plan is to be competitive in the Champions League, in the Premier League, and hopefully the FA Cup as well. We're gonna need loads of really good players.
Definitely.
So Lallana, I think, will just fit back in where he's always played under Klopp.
Yep.
But there will be a time where he'll play in the midweek and Oxlade-Chamberlain will play at the weekend. Or there'll be a time when he plays there and Emerson or Milner or whatever will play in this. I think that the notion of us having this 11, this all-conquering 11, is gone. You know, we're going to see. It's not players being dropped. It's players being rotated. This is what top sides do.
Yeah, definitely. I think Lallana's got nothing to worry about. He's always worked hard. He's always performed well under Klopp, and he is the kind of player who can come into the team and really sort of influence others because of his high pressing and his work rate. So I think he's a player that Klopp will be excited to have back, and I'm excited to have him back because he definitely gives something extra to the team. But I mean, we've shown that we can play, you know, very well without him in it. So, like you say, we can rotate, and I think Klopp won't be rushing to bring him back into the team. I think it'll just be a steady sort of, you know, getting him back into form.
There's one thing, it's a little off topic, but I was going to do this as a separate video, but we're here, let's just discuss it anyway. A few people mentioned it in the comments about Emre Can. Where do you stand on this now? Again, as it stands, it looks very much like he's going to leave on a free. Now, that means he'll sign a pre-contract in January and go at the end of the season. So we will have him for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
The talk is, again, that he wants, if he's going to sign, it's going to be a low release clause. Liverpool want a higher release clause. I've seen people describing it as this could be the biggest failure of this ownership's regime. Where do you stand on it?
I think he just wants, away, obviously. We were just talking about it before we came on. And Emma's right when she said it'd be a massive blow. I think, I don't know, I think you just got to kind of fight to keep him. But if you can't keep him, so what?
Yeah.
He's a great player. I love him. I love when we brought him in and we've The annoying part is we've kind of developed him through.
We've gone through the hard times. Yeah. Exactly. The player,
but then he wants to go to Juve. Juve are this massive club doing really well in the Champions League. And you can see when he plays in the Champions League as well. He excels there. He really plays well. It'll be a big miss if he goes. But look, we've had it where players have forced their way out of Liverpool. And we've had it where they forced their way in. So I think you've just kind of got to take it.
The thing for me is, when you look at, let's look at the Arsenal situation where they're about to lose their two best players in exactly the same circumstances. So for me, I think contextually, it's a disappointment because this guy's got his best years ahead of him. He's only just starting to really break into the German national team. You know, to get in that team, you need to be a bloody good player, don't you? it would be a massive failure on Liverpool's part if they let a player like that go on a free. But I think that's a thing we'll come to regret. I don't think it's not like losing, like when we lost McManaman in the past. Mm. We're not losing a guy who's in our top three best players in that team, is my thinking on it.
Yeah, I mean, I said in January that I thought it was, I said in the summer that I thought it was a priority to get his contract signed. I still stand by that now. Like, I'd love for him to sign a new contract. But yeah, I mean, we spoke about it before about the strength and depth that we've got, and particularly in midfield, and obviously with Naby Keita coming in next summer as well, we have got midfielders who can do the role that he can do. He will be a loss, and I think he will go to Juve and do very, very well. But that happens in football, and Liverpool are a massive club, and we'll get midfielders in who will also do very well.
Yeah, there's a couple of comments, and keep your thoughts coming in on Emre Can, actually. There's one here saying there from Yul Moncrief, saying, honestly, guys, Can isn't good enough for Liverpool. Why are you talking like he's great? He's average at best. He's the one player for me, I disagree, but he's the one player for me, Tom, and I've mentioned it a few times lately. Everyone's got that player that you have to fight against your own bias to some extent against him sometimes. So when he's not having a good game, it always stands out to me more. And I know for a lot of people, that's probably like a Jordan Henderson or a Moreno or a Lallana or whatever in those instances. But he's that for me because I think he's got everything you need.
Yeah,
like Chris mentioned through the week, he's got Yaya Toure like qualities. The way he bears you. Peak Yaya Toure.
Yeah.
You know, the way he's a ball when he runs with the ball, he breaks through. He's powerfully strong. He's surprisingly quick as well. He's got a good shot on him. It's the lack of game intelligence. Yeah. I think that loses him for me sometimes. So I can see why people don't like him, but I don't. Even though I struggle to with him sometimes. Yeah. I don't think he's not good enough for Liverpool. I think he is.
It's when you look at him and sometimes he just slows the game down. And the problem is he's still young and he's a midfielder. He's going to learn all this stuff where there was a pass on for Moreno, but he's turned and gone for Gomez, let's say, and you're so frustrated because you can see it. And it'll just come to a point where he'll play that ball without thinking. And the big thing is I want to know where he's going to play for Juve.
Yeah.
Because he wants to play that number six role, and if he goes to Juve and he becomes that all-encompassing centre defensive mid who just controls the game, and then he starts playing there for Germany, fair enough. But if he goes there and he starts playing the same role, you'd be like, why, Emre? Yeah,
for titles.
For titles,
for titles and money.
But they're two big things that I would go to Juve for as well. But
this is not like I'm going to Inter Milan.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? If he's going to make that move, it is because, look, he's good enough. And let's be honest, the Juventus are going to win.
Yeah,
are going to win a title every other season.
They're going to be
at worst. Like,
they're going to be in more Champions League semi-finals and finals than Liverpool are in the next 3 years.
Or at least, if you were going to put your money on teams getting to semis, you'd back Juve because there's not enough track record of us doing it. And that again, that's why I always understand. At the minute, we're not where we need to be, and that's one of those things. I just hope that if he goes, we're on the up. And you look at the middle, look at Italian footy. You know, Roma are doing well, Napoli doing really well. All the money's coming to AC Milan, so they're going to start being a power again. It would be, I hope, and it's nothing about Emre Can per se, but I love it when players decide Liverpool aren't reaching their ambitions and then we go and do stuff. Michael Owen's the perfect example of that. You know, like, I hope he cries himself to sleep every night thinking about the Champions League, final.
I'm sure you've said this before. Every Liverpool player who's left there to another club has regretted it in the later years and gone, well, I could have stayed there and really done something, and maybe he'll live to regret it. Yeah. Maybe we'll laugh.
I think we need to get battered on, because I think too often in recent years, the Sterlings and the Suarez of this world, yeah. I'm sure they look back at Liverpool and remember it fondly. But you know, when they finish their careers, they'll look at the medal hall and think, exactly. I made the right call. We need to make ourselves good enough that these guys do regret this stuff. But just a few more Emre Can comments. Dan says, am I the only one that sees how Can bosses the midfield? I think he does.
Yeah.
Particularly in Europe this season, I think he's been outstanding. But you just get the impression, I don't know whether it's just to say, I'm not tactically switched on enough to know whether there's an obvious reason why this happens, whether it's just the certain types of games that suit him, or whether it's just he raises his game. I don't know, but I see there are games when he very much does.
I think the thing with Chan, the reason why I love him is because he doesn't necessarily play the simple pass. He'll always go for something that other players might shy away from, and they might say, oh no, I don't want to embarrass myself here, but he will go for it because he's got the arrogance to.
Yeah.
And when it comes off, it is phenomenal, and he can completely control games. So if he makes five or six risks and five or six of them come off, then they can lead to three or four goals just from those five or six passes. And there's other midfielders in the Premier League who won't do that. So they might make a couple of simple passes which might lead to one goal or one opportunity, but when he's playing well, he can easily create three or four. So I think a player like that, who you can have in your team, is such a danger. But the problem is that obviously by playing that way, he's going to make mistakes.
Yeah, absolutely. A few more really interesting comments here. Hero of the People says, Chan is great on his day, but he's way too inconsistent, very frustrating. I prefer to keep him, but he isn't irreplaceable. I think that's an important one. He isn't irreplaceable.
No, he's not.
And I think the problem is, again, I think we've done a lot about Jordan Henderson in the last couple of weeks. I think some of this feeds into another one. I think there's an overlap between people who don't like Jordan Henderson and really like Emre Can, and so they feel as though, because he's the natural guy who comes in for Hendo, like you'll automatically feel like Liverpool are leaving themselves short because you don't think Henderson's good enough, which again I disagree with, but that's fair play if you feel that way. El Rafa, no player's bigger than the club. If he wants to leave, let him go. LFC made him the player he is. We need hungry players willing to play and not selfish ones. Yeah, that's a very good point. Jamie Bennett, Chan will take funds away from the club. He'll make all the money. Sure. And there's a lot. David Ray, I don't think Chan is mobile and or nimble enough for Klopp's favourite pressing game. It's interesting because Jordan Henderson, just it feel, you mentioned it before, I think Chan has to warm into games because they just think it's his build and his type of thing. I don't think nimble's a great word for it.
Yeah.
Maybe he needs someone who's a little bit more quick off the mark if he's to play in that six.
Yeah.
But again, look at the Europa League campaign. He was playing in the six, and that we were playing 4-2-3-1 as well, and he was really good. He anchored the midfield excellently in that. So he's definitely got it.
I think especially in Europe, I mean, you come up against teams where they're better than Liverpool, obviously, but the pace is quite a bit slower. I think that favours him massively, and he always likes to, whenever he played, when he played centre back for us, right centre back, when he's got a bit of space to charge forward, he's like, he is Yaya Toure-esque. And I think it's hard because when he first came into that midfield, everyone was like, it just takes too much time on a ball, and he's grown into it so much. Like I said before,
I think he needs it to be a battle, if I'm honest. I think he needs to have a game where it's blood and thunder, and he needs to be throwing himself into it. I think that's how he pumps himself up.
Yeah.
I don't think he shoots a game when they sit back and there's nothing happening in midfield.
Yeah, yeah.
Where if you concede the midfield to Liverpool, he doesn't know how to handle that because you see it all the time. In fact, you saw it yesterday. There was how many times he passed the ball to Joe Gomez, expecting him to go down the wing, and tactically that's not how he was set up.
Yeah.
He wasn't supposed to play that ball, but he did what he always does. The obvious ball he's meant to play is on the left, and he goes, ha 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 ha, look what I can do, and he turns the other way, and he's not meant to go. He's been told not to go that way, and he goes that way, and he doesn't dictate the tempo with the ball at his feet.
Yeah.
He can't dictate it with passing the same way that a Henderson can, or a Gerrard could, or other players can, and that's his limitation. But here's the thing, he's still young.
Exactly. He's going to learn.
He can get better at these things. Yeah. That's culture and that's experience.
That's the shame with him, if he wants to leave, is that we're going to lose out on what is going to be one of the best midfielders for Germany, could be in the world. And it's going to be a massive shame. But again, if you there's no point in spending loads of resources if he's ultimately if he wants to go.
Yeah.
Just kind of say, right, let's look for the next one.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, we're going to wrap that up there. Thank you very much for watching the review show that ended up the Emre Can contract special. Leave your thoughts on Emre Can's contract situation below. Would you keep him? What would you do? You know, obviously the issue is about he wanting a low release clause. What do you think would be a fair, in your estimation, just stick a number out there, it's largely irrelevant, but do it anyway. What you think a fair release clause would be for a player playing at his level, at the top level? What is a contracted Emre Can actually worth in world football right now? Drop a like on the video, subscribe to the Red Men TV YouTube channel. If you want more, come to theredmentv.com. Some amazing shows lined up this week. Extra Red Men content for your ears and eyes and face. What more could you ask for? Thanks for joining us, guys. Pleasure.
Thank you.
See you soon. Ta-ra.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.